All right, I'm sorry about all those technical difficulties. Let us start again. We'll start from the beginning so everyone can hear me. Tonight we are going to be addressing the topic of Muktzeh Machmas Gufo. Muktzeh Machmas Gufo is one of the categories of Muktzeh, and it is not necessarily the first one that the poskim speak about, but I believe that in sequence it makes the most sense to address this one first, as from this one we'll be able to understand a lot of the concepts of Muktzeh that perhaps were more difficult to understand. We'll be able to understand them through this one, and a lot of the klalim, a lot of the rules, will be brought forward to us through this as well. So now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce this topic of Muktzeh Machmas Gufo with the Hakdama of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes with the words of the Beis Yosef with regard to how he categorizes this. And then we are going to move back a little bit and then proceed throughout the rest of the sugya. So it's starting as follows. Hashlishis, the third category of Muktzeh, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef, is Muktzeh Machmas Gufo, and he writes, Kol Davar, any item, She'eino Keli, it's not a Keli, V'lo Maichel Adam, it's not food, V'lo Maichel Behema, it's not either animal food. So basically, it's not an item which can be used, it doesn't have function of its own, it's not edible as any human food, and it cannot be used as animal food either. Kagon, for example, what would this be? Avanim, stones, mos, money, kanim, reeds, eitzim, wood, v'koros, and beams, v'afar, and dirt, v'chol, and sand, umes, and a corpse, a dead body. So all these items are not functional in and of themselves. And you can do something with any of these things. You can use an even for something. You can use mos to purchase. You can use reeds for your schach. You can use eitzim to build. But ultimately, in and of themselves, they don't have a function. In other words, a cup is a keli. It has a function in and of itself that it's used to drink. All these items are non-functional in and of themselves. They can, however, be used as part of a bigger structure. They can be used to build something, but ultimately, in and of themselves, they are non-functional items. That's category number one in Muktzeh Machmas Gufo. In Muktzeh Machmas Gufo, something which is basically in and of itself, its own purpose makes it Muktzeh. As we explained last week, Muktzeh is the opposite. It's just the opposite of being Mukhan. Something, other items which are used, generally speaking, are mukhan for tashmish. They are prepared to be used. However, muktzeh is something which does not have any prepared use. So it's non-functional in and of itself. So these items all lack what we would categorize as mukhan, as something prepared to be used. And therefore, using them on Shabbos, giving them their own purpose, is repurposing them. And that's a problem, because that's how we explained last week, the problem of Muktzeh is repurposing an item for an entirely new purpose and in an entirely new function. Next is Bali Chayim, live animals. Those as well. There's no use. You don't use an animal, and therefore an animal would be Muktzeh. The next category is Grogros Vitzimukim Shehemunachem B'makim Shem Yavshemosam. This is dried fruits. For example, the two examples that are given is dried figs and dried grapes, which are raisins. These items, we're going to see very soon in the Gemara, these items have the unique characteristic that they are edible food, but what happens is, in the interim, they stop being edible. They get, to a certain extent, a certain amount of, they start to smell and become a bit rotten in the middle of their process. And then they ultimately dry out and they become edible. So all those things are what we categorize as Muktzeh Machmas Gufo, because they themselves don't have any purpose. Now, one may ask, we certainly find that a person can have, you know, a stone that has a function. He can use a stone as a paperweight. He can use a stone to keep his door open. He can use a piece of wood as a cutting board. So how is it that we can have these items which are inherently mukta because they don't have any purpose, and using them is inherently giving them a purpose. So how is it that all these items can be used? So we're going to see in source number two that depending what an item is, would be how you can ultimately designate them to be used on Shabbos. So let's see source number two. This is Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Ches. In Sif Chaf, he writes as follows. Charios. And he explains what are charios. They are enough and they are branches. Shel Dekel of a palm tree. Shekotzitzam L'Sreifa. They were cut down to be used as firewood. Muktzimeim V'asulotatam. They are mukta. They cannot be used on Shabbos. And you can't even move them around. And however, Yashav Aleihem. If you sat down on top of them, Miba'od Yom, before Shabbos came in, Mutrele Shavaleim B'Shabbos, you can sit on them on Shabbos as well. V'kol Shekein, and certainly, Im Kashram Le Shavaleim, you tied them together as a bundle to serve as a bench. Or, Im Chishiv Aleim, you had in mind to use these items for the purpose of sitting on them, then it's going to be mutter to use these things on Shabbos. So three different ways you could take branches of a palm tree and use them in Shabbos as your chair, or perhaps as your lawn chair, or just whatever you plan to sit down. Remember, we're not talking about a time in Chazal. You can go to Home Depot or to Walmart and just buy yourself a lawn chair. You have to get creative. So if you decided to designate these branches as a place where you're going to sit down, you're turning them into your hammock, so then you can use them before Shabbos. Next, in Sif Chaf, the Mechaber writes, Aval Nidbach Shalavanim, if you have a pile of stones, Afal Pi, Shechashav Aleim Yibod Yom, even though you thought about using them before Shabbos, Asur Aleishav Aleim, you can't sit on them, Ela Im Kain Limdom, unless you actually set them up as a chair. Why is this that the Mechaber says that if they are branches, they can be used, but if they're stones, they can't be used as a chair? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that it was understood by the Mechaber that stones are much less frequently used to be turned into a chair. In other words, branches of a tree, generally speaking, they are multi-purpose items. They don't have a designated purpose, so you cut them off the tree. If you cut them off to be used as firewood, so then they become firewood. If you cut them off to be used as material for your chair, then they become material for your chair. Now, in this case, you cut off the branches to be used as firewood. Now you want to change the purpose of their use, so then it doesn't take so much effort to change it. Just have in mind you want to change it, or do anything small like setting them up or tying them up as a chair or sit on them, then their purpose changes. However, when it comes to stones, stones generally are not used as a chair, and therefore it takes much more of an intense process to turn them into a chair. The Rama disagrees with this, and you can see in the Rashi letters, it says the Rama v'yesh omrim, didin avanu kedin charyos v'kein ikar. There are those who say that they have the exact same halacha, and if you can simply redesignate your branches to be a chair, you can redesignate your stones to be a chair as well. Now here comes Sif Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, which is very important. Asur l'chasos pichavis be'even o bebikas. A person cannot use a stone to cover open an open barrel. O liskarba en esedelis, or to use it to close up to close the door. O lahakas be'en bebarza, or to use them to open up. They used to have to knock the end, the spigot of the barrel of wine to be able to open it up. So you can't use any of these things. You can't use a stone to do that. Says the Mechaber, Afal pi shechashav aleihem yibod yom, even though you thought before Shabbos that you want to use the stone for this purpose, it's still going to be forbidden. Ela im kein yichada lakach leolam, aval yichada leShabbos zu bilvad. That would not be enough. In other words, says the Mechaber, you want to take a stone and repurpose it to be the cover of your barrel, you need to designate this stone permanently as your cover to your barrel, or as the item that you're going to use to open your barrel, or the item that you use to keep your door closed. But a stone, if you would like to use a stone, then you have to designate it like that forever. Now, says the Mechaber something very important. V'hani mili. This is specifically talking about a case. B'davar she'ein darko liyachta bekach. This is referring to a stone which is not normal to be repurposed for this reason. Kigon hani damar. Avol. B'kal midi de'orchei b'hachi. Anything which is normal to be repurposed. So in other words, it's a stone which has no purpose, but it's normal to use stones to hold your door open, or to be a paperweight, or to break open walnuts. Kigon lefitzoba esagozim biyichul deshavas achas sagi. So I'm sorry we took a very long journey through this, but ultimately what we learned from here is something very important. If you have something which is really abnormal to be repurposed as the cover to your jar, then it takes a lot to repurpose that. You have to repurpose it for that purpose forever. But if it's something which is normal to be used as a stone, it's normal to be used as a cover to your jug, it's multi-purposed, so then simply thinking before Shabbos that you would like to use it for that purpose on Shabbos is good, even if you don't designate it for that purpose forever. Okay, so now, I kind of summarized it in the English underneath it, but the point that I'm making over here is that when you have an item like a stone, it naturally has no dedicated purpose. So therefore, using it on Shabbos for the first time is giving it a new purpose. That is exactly what Chazal did not want us to do when they told us not to use Muktzah on Shabbos. Chazal did not want us repurposing items on Shabbos, and this is a classic example. It's a stone which has no use, so using it on Shabbos, for whatever purpose it is a problem, and that is the definition of Muktzah. However, if before Shabbos you decide you'd like to use it for whatever the purpose is, you have the right to do that. Now, depending on how rare it is to use this item for this purpose, would be how intense your preparation has to be to make it usable on that Shabbos. Generally speaking, if it's fairly normal, if it's within reason, just thinking before Shabbos that you want to use it for that purpose is enough, even if you don't designate it for that purpose forever. So that takes care of the first half of this year. Something can be muktzah naturally, and you can uproot its halachic status as being naturally muktzah by designating it before Shabbos for a useful, permissible use on Shabbos. Now, let's get into the idea of muktzah foods. Food is something which is very interesting, because generally speaking, food is never going to be muktzah. We're going to see soon that there's a halacha, one of the categories of muktzah is called muktzah machmas chisaron kis. It's muktzah because it's very valuable. One of the items that are considered valuable to the point where it's naturally muktzah is merchandise. Generally speaking, people don't use merchandise that's designated for a sale. If something is designated to be sold, so then it's going to be muktzah. The exception is food. Why? Because food is something which is edible. People always want to have the ability to eat their food. Nevertheless, we just found a case where food is muktzah. What is that? Grogros vitzimukim. Now the Gemara is actually discussing the opinion of Reb Shimon. And the Gemara asks the question, source number 5, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, ein muktzah Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, he says there's no such thing as muktzah besides for Ella grogros vitzimukim bovad. Reb Shimon, who is the one who's very lenient in muktzah, and he is the one who has this opinion that even if something is designated for a purpose which is not appropriate for a Shabbos, since it's very normal for it to have a purpose on Shabbos, I can always assume that if it gets that purpose, I'll use it. Reb Shimon, who's very liberal in his definition of not muchan, he's very liberal in his definition of something which is not prepared for use on Shabbos, he agrees that grogros vitzimukim, dried figs and dates and grapes, raisins, all these things are going to indeed be muktzah. Now, Rashi explains why, and this is something I explained earlier, but Rashi and Tosas both say, grogris are te'anim, they're figs, Shemale legagli yavshan, you put them up on the roof to dry them out. Umishenasnuhu shami'at, from the time that you put them there, just a little bit later, ein ru'uyim la'achila, they become inedible. Ad sheyisyavshu, until they dry out. V'chein tzimukim da'anavim, the same thing is true with raisins made from grapes. And the next source says the same thing from Tosfos. Tosfos in source number 7, Yushalmi pirish shemasrichim beintayim, they smell in between. In other words, between being a fresh fruit and being a dried fruit, they go through a stage where they smell. Kivin shemeskalklin kolkach in daito lakachtam achi yisakno heitim. Since they are so bad, they're inedible, a person does not have in mind to eat them until they get completely dried out. Now the Gemara explains in source number 8. I actually brought, if you see on page 2, I brought the actual text of the Gemara, if it's helpful for you to see it. But source number 8 goes on to the next page. And the Gemara asks the question, Bayiminei Rabbi Shimon, Bar Rabbi, Patsili Tamara. So Tamarim, dates, Rabbi Shimon Mahu. And the Gemara says, Amalei, Ein Muktzu Rabbi Shimon El Grogus Tzimukim Bavan. This halach is only true by dried figs and dried grapes. And the Gemara explains why. Rashi explains why. I'm sorry, in source number 9. What's the reason for this? The ikatarti, says Rashi. Didachinu biyadayim. You took them, you consciously went, and you made them not edible. Vilo chazu. And they're not edible. So now it's very important to understand this. Food naturally is not muktzah. The only way to make food muktzah on Shabbos is dechia biyadayim. You take good, edible, healthy food and you put it on the roof, knowing full well that your action of putting them on the roof is going to make them inedible for a certain period of time. So you consciously went ahead, took edible food, you were madcha them, you shoved them away from use, you pushed them away from possible use, and what you do? You made them lo chazud. So two things. Two important conditions you need in order to make food muktzah. One, that you consciously removed it from your house and put it in a state where it's not edible. And second of all, it has to actually be inedible, something that you can't eat. Shulchan Aruch, this halach is codified in source number 10, Simen Shin Yud Sef Beis, Aval Grogros V'Tzimukim Shemenichim Osam B'Muktzah. Grogros, which are dried dates, vitzimukim and raisins, shmanichim also b'muktzah. It's actually interesting we use the word muktzah here. Muktzah over here has nothing to do with the concept of muktzah. It means a flat area either behind the house or on top of the house where it's very sunny. Liyavsham, for the point of drying them out, asurim b'shabbos, to become forbidden to be eaten on Shabbos. Why? Misha muktzah. Explains the Shulchan Aruch, shehim asrichin. They become spoiled, they smell before they actually dry out. And he explains, the kivin sheyodea sheyisrechu, since you know they're going to be smelly, he no longer has in mind to use them on Shabbos. The kivan de ikotarti, and since you have these two conditions, number one, the chinu biyadayim, you consciously push them away from your use, vilo chazu, and indeed they're not edible. Have you muktzah, they become muktzah. So now, let me ask you, why do I care if it's muktzah or not? These are inedible fruits. Why would I want to eat them? The answer is, because remember last week, we covered a topic and the concept of migud yiskatzoy lebein hashmashos yiskatzoy lekuliyoma. That means the halachic status of muktzah that an item has at the time that Shabbos comes in is the status throughout the rest of Shabbos. What happens if at the time that Shabbos comes in, these grogros v'tzimukim, these dried figs and raisins, are not edible. But Shabbos morning is a really hot day, and the sun is very strong. And now, your raisins dry out, and they look like they're delicious, you want to eat them. So one might think, now I can eat them, they're chazu, they are perfectly edible. So the halacha is, no, you can't eat them. Because of the concept we learned last week, of migud yiskatzoy lebein hashmashos yiskatzoy lekuliyoma, since at the time that Shabbos came in, it was muktzah, the status of muktzah stays the entire Shabbos. Okay? So that is the idea of having food which is edible, making it inedible, and doing that consciously makes them muktzah. Even if they become edible on Shabbos, they still remain muktzah. The next topic is inedible foods. I'm just going to cover this very quickly. Food which is not edible for a human being, but is edible for an animal, is also not muktzah. And what kind of animal? So, and this is where things get very, very confusing. Generally speaking, it's talking about animals which are normal to have around, and therefore it's not going to be muktzah, because even though you yourself won't eat them, they have a purpose that they can be eaten by an animal which can be found. If you see in source number 12, lefizeh mutter l'taltel atzamos shenisparku ben abasar me'arav Shabbos. Therefore, a person's allowed to move bones that were removed from meat even on Erev Shabbos. Im ru'uyim l'klavim, if they are edible for dogs, t'klavim mitzuyim. Dogs are commonly found, and therefore, if you have bones which are edible for dogs, then it would be permissible to move them because they're not muktzah, they have a purpose. All right, this takes us to the last category of animals. And this is something I want to spend a little more time on, discussing animals, because in today's day and age, many people have animals, and animals, domesticated animals, animals that are actually living in their homes. We saw very clearly in the Beis Yosef, and it's clear in Shulchan Aruch, that animals are muktzah. So we have to discuss exactly how one should go about handling an animal that's in his house. So let's start from the beginning. Source number 13, Asur l'taltel behema chaya va'of. A person cannot move an animal, behema, a domesticated animal, a chaya, a wild animal, va'of, or a bird. V'yaf al pikein, nevertheless, mutter l'chapos es asal lefnei afrochem. A person could turn over a basket in front of small little birds, like this, they'll be able to get up into their coop. But Odma love, while these little birds are actually on top of the basket, also latatli, you can't move the basket. Why? Because you're ultimately moving muktzah. So clearly in Shulchan Aruch it tells us one cannot handle an animal on Shabbos. And here is where things start to get a little bit confusing, and I hope that you'll hang on until the end. In source number 14, we have something from the Shilos of Chubis Arzurua, and he was asked a question as follows. If a person has a bird in his house that chirps, and the bird chirps, it makes pleasant sounds. He appreciates it and he enjoys it very much. So is that bird going to be muktzah? And he says as follows, V'od hodiani kinirali afal pisha ba'li chayim muktzah ninu. Even though animals are muktzah, mikol makom, nevertheless, nearly lahatir l'taltel ofos ha-metzafzifim b'kol na b'kluvoy. Person can move this animal while it's in its cage if they make pleasant sounds, if they chirp pleasant sounds while they are in the house. Utzei l'omad mikleh shir, he ultimately explains that they are similar to klei shir, to musical instruments. The ilav gezer shema tifsak shema hayamut lotatun l'shar b'hem. He says something very interesting. Person cannot play music on Shabbos. Why not? Because Chazal said, lest your instrument break and you'll fix it and you'll be over the isra of either makah b'patish or bonev esoser, you'd be allowed to play music on Shabbos. Says the Arzurua, this bird is a musical instrument. It's singing, it's playing music for you. So therefore, says the Arzurua, this bird is mutter to be moved around on Shabbos because it's no longer viewed as a bird, it's viewed as a musical instrument, not only a regular musical instrument, but a musical instrument that does not have the problem of Shema Yavo L'Sakein, because my dear friend, if your bird instrument is no longer working, there's very little you can do to fix it. However, the problem is, if you turn the page in source number 15, which is really the next tshuva, he says something very interesting, which is an absolute contradiction to what he just said here. He says, "V'ala ofos lo melani libi lahatir." When it comes to birds, I cannot find the room in my heart to permit moving them. To ein lomod heter shimush balechai miheter kelim. We cannot compare moving or any permissibility of moving animals from the permissibility of moving kelim. Why? And he quotes the Rush later on saying that there's a low plug, which means there's a no exception policy. Well, Chazal said that animals are muktza. They said animals are muktza with a no exceptions. It means animals are muktza and animals are muktza, and there's nothing else to do about it. There's no, you can't say this animal yes, that animal no. A chirping bird which chirps nice, pleasant music from its mouth, that would be muktza, but another bird which makes annoying sounds, that would not be muktza. You can't start making a difference. So he quotes the Rush, who says, all animals, under all circumstances, are muktza, and nothing can be done to change them. And the truth is, if you look in source number 16, the Tosfos in Maseches Shabbos Daf Mem Hei, Amud Beis actually brings two different opinions with regard to birds, whether or not they can be permitted to be moved on Shabbos or not. And ultimately, there are two different opinions with that regard. So this leaves us with a very complicated shaila. We have a lot of animals in the house. Many people have animals in the house. We just saw that in Shulchan Aruch it says that it's unequivocally forbidden to be metal to them. We found in Arzarua, who seemed to say that if it's a pleasant animal in the house and you enjoy using it and it's no longer viewed as a useless item but it has a use, then it can be moved on Shabbos. However, the Arzarua himself seemed to have not gone with that lahalacha because he quoted the Rush in the next tshuva, which says that there is a no exception policy. For the sake of time, we're going to skip the next source, which is the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And we're going to go down, all the way down to a tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss, Hagon of Asher Weiss Shlita. Rav Asher Weiss, I should just mention now, it's very important, you know, during this, the recent times, during this terrible pandemic that the world is going through right now, has been one of the leading voices, the leading poskim, who really grabbed the bull by the horn and has answered a tremendous amount of very complex halachic shailas. He is a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham we are fortunate to have living with us in this generation. And he has Svarim called Minchas Asher, and he has independent tshuvas that he writes, which are not published as part of his Svarim, but he put them out. He has a website where he puts out these Piskei Halacha. Now, he was asked a question with regard to dogs in today's generation. And he writes something very, very interesting there, and this is source number 18. I know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not quoting the whole tshuva here. It's too long to put in our sources, but I want to just quote something he writes with regard to dogs nowadays. Source number 18. Amna, l'chor yishmakim laden l'hakol b'chayos ele bizmanenu. There is room to be makel, to be lenient with these animals in our times. Why? To be make kedem, lo hayu megadlem chayos ve'ofos kedei lehishtashaya behem. Ulatatlan. At the time of Chazal, when they said that unequivocally all animals are going to be forbidden to be used, it was not a time when people actually raised animals as animals which are just there to provide comfort to the family or to be cuddled with or to be played with. Animals were much more of a functionality item. In other words, it was used to work in the field, it was used to protect the house, it was used to protect the fields, but they weren't used as what we would consider to be either therapeutic dogs or just to be something that the family kind of plays with and enjoys using. Nevertheless, even though it wasn't common in the times of Chazal that people had animals in their house simply to use and to cuddle and to enjoy, nevertheless, we still find that the Tosfos said that you're allowed to use a bird to calm down a child who's crying. And he writes clearly, "Ach pashut shelo gidlu afrochim l'shem ha'Torah zu." They didn't raise birds in the times of Chazal for the purpose of calming down a child. Nevertheless, Tosfos said it's permissible. He writes, Masha'inka bizmanenu. In our time, Shechayos Elam etatlin osam tadir, the zet derech shimushin v'hana osam, umistavar de bezet yodu atosus v'arash amutal etatlin. Says Rabbi Shawai something absolutely amazing. He says, it's very possible that had Chazal seen that people actually bring animals into their house to be used as a household, it's hard to call them an item, but as something which is a cuddly item, something which provides comfort, something which the family enjoys using, it could very well be that Chazal would have allowed, and the Rosh and Tosfos would have said, it's permissible to be metaltel these animals on Shabbos. So this is a massive, massive chiddush that Rav Asher Weiss is saying with regard to animals in today's day and age. And he's saying something that it's important to understand what he's pointing out. He's saying, of course, what Chazal said is absolutely true, that animals have no purpose and therefore are usher to be metal to them, they're mukta on Shabbos, without any exceptions. However, Chazal were not referring to the society of 2020, where people bring animals into their homes as something that they enjoy just for the sake of enjoying the animal, of cuddling with the animal, of petting the animal, calming down with the animal, just having the animal around the house, providing some kind of sense of comfort. That's not an idea, it's not a concept that existed in the times of Chazal. Therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, it's possible that the Rosh and Tosfos would agree with the animals, the dogs of nowadays, certainly service animals, that a person can use them on Shabbos. However, it's very important that we don't end the shir right here, because we do have to understand that although Rav Asher Weiss did come up with this heter, Rav Asher Weiss is coming up with a heter which is really trying to explain something that the poskim understood simply to be a davar ha'aser. And therefore, we have to understand that while there is something which is called a yesh almi lismoch, there is a reliable posuk Rav Asher Weiss to rely on. Rav Asher Weiss does not have a dog in his house, I guarantee that. And he's explaining that while it does seem open and shut in Shulchan Aruch that a dog would be mukta, nevertheless, there is room to be mekel. Now, we have to go back to last week's shir and remember that we have to understand why Chazal instituted muktzah in the first place. Chazal instituted muktzah in the first place. Why? Because they didn't want Shabbos to look like the rest of the week. So now, if someone has a dog in his house, you brought that dog in, and you took responsibility for that dog, you absolutely must take care of that dog. And we saw for Tzar Bali Chaim, there are certain heterim of mukta. So therefore, you take care of the dog, you make the dog comfortable, you feed the dog, you handle the dog the way you have to. However, we have to realize that Shabbos still needs to be Shabbos. And it's not a day which should be centered around your dog. Sometimes people take this heter a little bit too far. They say, since I have reason to believe that a dog would be mutter to be used and to be moved around on Shabbos, so therefore, we'll go to all our friends who have dogs, we'll get all our dogs together, we'll sit around and have dog conversations, everyone will come and compliment the dog and spend time with the dog. So this is something which is clearly not what Chazal wanted us to be doing on Shabbos, and clearly this is the reason why they instituted muktzah. The instituted muktzah to make sure that Shabbos does not become that day. Everyone's off of work, everyone's relaxing, you have time to clean up the house, so you move everything around, you're metalta the things, mipina lipina, mizavas lazavas. Similarly, Chazal said, don't get involved in elective medicine on Shabbos. Don't go swimming on Shabbos. All these different takanas that Chazal made, clearly the intention of Chazal is that Shabbos should be a day where we are focused on our Kedusha, our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not a day that we spend, you know what, I haven't had time to spend time with the dog all week, so you know what, now it's Shabbos, let's spend time with the dog. And Rabbi Richter said that dogs are not mukta on Shabbos. That's not at all what I'm trying to point out over here. Certainly, there are there is room to be makel, there certainly is room to be lenient, to say that a dog would not be mukta. But I would say, number one, even if you're going to rely on Rav Asher Weiss with regard to this tshuva, number one, it does not mean your Shabbos should be centered and focused around your dog. It means you take care of the dog with what's necessary to take care of the dog, and that's not considered mukta. Number two, this should be reserved for the owners of the dog and the dependents of that family. It shouldn't be that all the neighbors come along and start playing with the dog on Shabbos. Why? Because again, mukta was instituted as something which is there to protect the sanctity of Shabbos, to make sure that Shabbos has the proper kedusha that it's supposed to have. It's not supposed to be a day where everyone's off of school. It's hard to even think about school nowadays. Who has ever been in school? But where everyone's off of school, everyone's off of work, everyone's home, so let's just hang out with the dog. That's not the proper way of spending Shabbos. And number three, it should, again, even those who do take care of their dog, it should not become the primary focus of their Shabbos. It should be something that they do because that's their responsibility for their dog. So again, to wrap it up, number one, items which don't have a natural purpose are naturally mukta. You can repurpose those items. You can rededicate them to have a purpose. That would be depending on how abnormal it is to use this item for that purpose that you'd like to use it for on Shabbos. That's how intense the redesignation would have to be. So you can certainly take a stone and designate it as a chair. You could take a stone and designate it as a doorstop. You can take a stone or a piece of wood, a plank, and designate it as a cutting board. And if it's a normal purpose for that item, then even if you just designate it for 1 week, it would be fine. Food items are naturally not mukta unless you push them away and they become inedible. Inedible food is not mukta unless it's inedible for everything, including humans, including the regular animals that are around the house. When it comes to animals, yes, you can designate an animal as an item in the house that you're going to be using, because it's not worse than anything else. Just like you could designate a stone to be an item that you sit on, or an item that you move around your house, whatever purpose it is, you could also designate a dog to be an item around your house. However, that comes along with the caveat that we have to make sure that Shabbos has its protection. Shabbos is a day which is about people. There is a concept of Shvi'is Aseret Be'emptah, a person has to make sure his animal doesn't work for him on Shabbos. However, Shabbos is about Ato Ubincha Ubitecha. It's about us celebrating Shabbos, and it's not about our dogs. So yes, Mukta is there to protect the sanctity of Shabbos and to make sure the Shabbos is protected and it's treated properly. And therefore, even if you're going to rely on the opinion of Rav Asher Weiss and say that dogs nowadays, which are part of a household, are more similar to household items as opposed to being just a naturally mukta item such as a dog, nevertheless, it should not become the focus of your Shabbos. With that, we will conclude, and I wish everybody a wonderful week ahead of you. Be well.
That was terrific.